The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
The government has for some time been running a policy to try to coax people out of private cars and into alternative modes of transport, some of that being public transport, but some of it being pedestrianisation, some of it being e-scooters, some of it being cycling, and all of those fit in the category of vulnerable road users. And it is vulnerable road users who are making up a significant proportion of those being killed on our roads. With us is Imogen Nicotter and Colin Baker. Colin, of course, cyclist, electric scooterist and technology presenter for Virgin Media, and Imogen, former professional cyclist who was in a serious accident in 2022, hit by an oncoming vehicle. And Imogen, maybe we'll start there and just give us a bit of a sense of what happened to you in that accident.
Thanks for having me on to talk. So back in 2022, I was out on a training ride, and as I was coming towards the end of my ride, a driver who was driving on the wrong side of the road hit me head on at high speed, and I was going pretty fast as well. So, statistically, I shouldn't have survived, but I was very lucky that I did. Unfortunately, it really impacted on my cycling career, which was just taking off. But I suppose it ignited this kind of passion in me to use my experience for some good and hopefully to make a change to road safety for cyclists.
What is the change that's needed, in your view, for road safety for cyclists?
Well, I definitely think that a huge barrier to getting out on the roads is road safety, and the fact that in Ireland there's a real lack of cycling infrastructure. And if there is cycling infrastructure, it's generally just painted lines on the road. And I think it's really clear from looking globally that paint is not protection. A physical separation is what is needed to make the road safer for cyclists and to make us feel safer on the roads, to increase people, using that as a mode of transport. And I could go on about this. There's a lot of different things I could talk about. But as well as that, even in terms of our public transport and if somebody wants to switch between modes of transport, like cycle to the bus station, get the bus and then get off again, there isn't even the possibility of being able to put your bike on a bike rack on the bus, which is available in a lot of cities across America. We just need to look globally to see what other countries who have massive cycling populations are doing. Of course, the gold standard is the Netherlands, but there are smaller steps we can take to get to that level. And I definitely think that paint is not enough for cyclists to be encouraged to get out on the roads and to feel safe on the roads.
And Colin, let me bring you in with your experience, because whether it's on the scooter or in the cycling, you're squarely in the category of vulnerable road user. To what extent do you feel vulnerable?
Absolutely. And I'd like to follow Imogen there and just thank Imogen for being such a powerful voice for road safety. I followed her on Instagram since her horrible incident and her really, really blessed recovery. Yes, absolutely. It's a very, very vulnerable, and we can see that in the statistics. Although overall road deaths have been in overall decline since the 80s and 90s, we're seeing a larger proportion of the breakdown in the vulnerable category. And as Imogen said, in relation to paint, does not protect that vulnerable category of scooterists and cyclists. And there is certainly an amount of investment going into bike lanes, as I think a lot of motorists will attest to and will no doubt complain about to some extent as well. I think the way in which it's being done relative to, as Imogen said, the gold standard of the Netherlands, it's just not as intelligent as I'd like to see in terms of that separation. We're seeing large cycle paths right alongside roads with only a line of paint dividing them, when there's evidence of large areas of green that could allow for proper separation between those. There's also lots of cases, again, as lots of your listeners will know, of cycle lanes running along very successfully and at great expense right up until a big roundabout, where there's absolutely no consideration of cyclists, and roadworks where there's no consideration of cyclists. And they're just kind of almost bottlenecked into this ultra high risk area of road contamination.
And how does that risk manifest itself from your experience?
Well, look, I would go tangential to that and say that there is and this is not about pointing fingers, and that should never be the case, but there is a lack of education already for the everyday cyclist, and I'm kind of insulting myself here, and scooterist, whereas you need extensive training and certification for driving and for motorcycling. The idea of popping onto a bicycle or onto a scooter and sharing that same road, but with a higher degree of risk, with potentially absolutely zero understanding of the rules of the road or of safety awareness on that road. It's not even built into the education system, which one would expect was something, you know, that very much minimum to what would be required. So I think in terms of the level of safety I'm seeing, I see the risk right across the board in terms of what's there right now, and in terms of the awareness of the individual as well.
And let me go back to you, Imogen. Do you not see anything in the way of improvements? Because we do now have parking separated by bike lanes. We do have some separated by curbs. It is better now, surely, than it was 10 or 20 years ago.
Yeah, I don't want to dismiss any improvements that have been made, and I'm sure it is helpful. But I think it's that thing of there's not a consideration of how the cycling infrastructure is working from a cyclist point of view, in terms of, yeah, getting to those important junctions. And then all of a sudden, the bike lane has just disappeared and you're blending back in with traffic. And I do think that that also causes issues. You know, that is what's leading to problems between drivers and cyclists, because cyclists are having to navigate using different sets of rules at different points in the road. Like at one point they're expected to blend in with the traffic, then they're expected to be in the bike lane, then the bike lane ends and they're on the footpath. I just think there's not really it's not streamlined, and I think that that is what's leading to a lot of confusion, a lot of maybe impatience, and a really just a breakdown of the relationship between the drivers and the cyclists. So, of course, it does go back to education from the cyclist side, but I definitely think there needs to be some kind of element in the driving test as well, of, you know, they have to be, you know, they have to be tested on that element of driving at the beginning of their driving journey, you know, when they're starting to drive, that they are aware they're going to be sharing the roads with these vulnerable road users. And cyclists are the only vulnerable road users who haven't experienced a drop in death since 2010. So, yeah, I think we're most at risk.
Imogen, thanks very much for your time. Likewise, thank you, Colin. That's Imogen Nicotter and Colin Baker.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.